Do you know what baptism really is? Find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. We're currently in a series that we're calling Great Bible Doctrines. Part of that series is what we're calling RIBS. Now, that is a theological term that stands for regeneration, indwelling, baptizing, and sealing. On today's show, we're going to talk about baptizing and sealing. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to let us know what we need to know. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, my name is Bob.
And we're going through the great doctrines of the Bible in preparation for a book we'll be publishing, Concise Systematic, Free Grace Systematic Theology, and a national conference on this subject where we're going to cover the whole of the Christian faith. And I really want to invite you, I want to encourage you to come, all right? Our conferences are such a great time of encouragement. I mean, the spirit there, I think, is just so great.
Right, May 18 through 21, 2020, Monday through Thursday. We start Monday at noon and Thursday at noon.
You're welcome to come. I mean,
Plano, Texas.
Plano, Texas, at the Hope Center. And we have lots of great speakers. It's 4 days of just solid Bible teaching. And this year's conference, we're going to go through all the great doctrines of the Bible so that you get a big overview of the Christian faith. I want you to come. First timer's free. If you can't afford it, it's free. Well, we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit now, and this is our third episode on the Holy Spirit. We started to talk about a mnemonic device that you use to remember the ministries of the Holy Spirit.
RIBS, R-I-B-S, and in the first two we looked at regeneration and indwelling. Both occur at the moment we believe in Christ. But today we're looking at the other two, the baptizing ministry of the Holy Spirit and sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit.
What is the baptizing ministry of the Spirit?
Okay, well, let me give you a verse, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, the point here is the baptism of the Holy Spirit puts us into one body.
Mm-hmm.
There's not Israel and the church today. It's
right.
Not like there's two bodies. Today there's one body. It's the body of Christ, which is another name for the church.
Maybe we should say something about that.
Right. There are three basic people. 1 Corinthians 10:32, give no offense to the Jews, the Greeks, or the church of God. And those are the three groups in eternity. Israel will be a force in the millennium. In fact, it'll be the dominant nation, and the same thing on the new earth. But the church will also be in the millennium and on the new earth, and there will be nations. Like
right.
Revelation 21:24 says, the nations will bring their tribute to Jesus in the new Jerusalem. The nations will be the Gentile nations of the redeemed, and Israel will be redeemed Jews, and the church will be, of course, all the redeemed from this age, from the church age.
Before the cross, if any non-Jew came to faith, they'd be saved, but they wouldn't be part of Israel.
They would not be part of Israel, they'd be part of the nations.
Right. But if you're a Jew who had faith in the Messiah for eternal life, you'd be saved and you'd be part of Israel.
Right. However, today, although this is a little controversial, Jews who come to faith in Messiah and believe in him for everlasting life are members of the church, not Israel.
Right.
Now, I do have some friends like Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum who believes that Jews in the church age are dual citizens. And when the millennium comes and when the new earth comes, they'll be citizens of both Israel and the church. Maybe. I don't think so, but maybe.
So, but nowadays, since the cross, since the resurrection, since the ascension of Christ, he's working with a new people, the body of Christ, the church. And the question is, how do you become part of the church? Now, isn't you get baptized in water as a baby?
Well,
you know,
I was. I was a Serbian Orthodox, so I was christened as a baby. But baptism, the word baptism basically means to immerse or place into. It used to be used of a piece of cloth that was placed into or immersed in dye, and when it came out, it had the color of the dye.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the same way, when he says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, he means placed into one body. We were placed into the church.
It's like you're identified with.
Right, but you become a part of it.
Right.
He does use that in that sense when he says in 1 Corinthians 10, in the wilderness, all were baptized into Moses. Into Moses. They were identified with Moses. Yeah. They were basically placed into his faith. But here the point is, at the moment of faith, we're baptized into the church, the body of Christ. In fact, remember when Saul is persecuting Jesus and Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?"
Right.
Was he persecuting Jesus? Well, he was, because if you persecute the church, you're persecuting the body of Christ.
Right. Even though Saul or Paul, we have no evidence they actually ever met Jesus or even talked to Jesus, let alone persecuted him. What he did to Jesus' followers, it's as if he was doing it to Jesus
Absolutely.
Himself.
And you see the same thing in Matthew 25, after the tribulation with the judgment of the sheep and the goats.
And by the way, I think that's a great insight for Christians who are experiencing persecution today. Remember who they're actually persecuting. If you're suffering for the faith, now Christians might suffer just for being, you know, a bad worker or just
right.
being really unkind to people. We're not talking about that kind of suffering. But if you're suffering for the faith, just remember it's really Jesus who's being attacked. Don't retaliate. That's his job.
Right.
So when you get baptized, when you believe in Jesus for eternal life, the Holy Spirit comes, he regenerates you, he indwells you, but he also, what you're saying is, he baptizes you, and that means placing you into the body of Christ.
Right, and this should not be confused with Christian water baptism. That should occur after you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. You're placed by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so what you're saying is, this spirit baptism happens at the point of faith.
Right.
And water baptism, that just happens after, like, you've arranged something with your pastor.
It should.
That doesn't happen at the same second. A lot of people think, as soon as you get dipped in the water by a priest who said the right kind of words over the waters of baptism, that is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Right. That's sometimes called baptismal regeneration.
Right. That's a false view. That does not happen.
That does not.
Water
however,
doesn't have special powers to do that.
Spirit baptism does occur at the moment of regeneration,
right.
however.
There is a baptismal regeneration, but it's by the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith.
Right. In Acts chapter 10 is the first time this becomes normative. Prior to this, for example, when the apostles believed in Christ, they were not baptized into the body of Christ because it didn't exist yet.
Right.
So in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit fell upon them and they were baptized into the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But that was after they believed. And in Acts chapter 8, Philip goes to Samaria and he leads some Samaritans to faith in Christ. And they're regenerated and they're sealed, but they're not indwelt or baptized. So Peter and John come and lay hands on them, and they receive the Spirit at that time, and they're baptized by the Spirit at that point. But in Acts chapter 10, it becomes normative, and what happens is Peter says, "Whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins." Luke goes on and says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word." And when he says fell upon them, he's referring to both indwelling and baptizing ministry. And by the way, in verse 48, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, they were already baptized by the Holy Spirit, but that allows them to now undergo Christian baptism.
I see. Very good. Very interesting. I was having a discussion with a Lutheran about this, by the way, because Lutherans, they believe that we're justified by faith apart from works, but they also believe in baptismal regeneration. And so I was talking to a Lutheran about this, and I said, Well, when do you get regenerated? Do you get regenerated when you believe? Like, let's say you believe and you only got baptized 3 months later. When were you regenerated? If you believe in faith alone and you believe in baptismal regeneration, did you not get baptized when you're...
What did he say?
He said, well, it's both. And he said, it's a paradox. Sometimes we talk about mystery boxes, like Calvinists have
right.
a mystery box. If there's a problem for their theology, they'll say, oh, I'm just going to put this in the mystery box and not think about it. Well, truthfully, it's not just the Calvinists. You know, a lot of people have this mystery box, and they just kind of put their contradictions in there and try not to think about it.
That's right.
But you should be open. Truth is truth. Truth does not contradict itself.
Absolutely. That's right.
All right. Well, so we've talked about the baptism of the Spirit, and now let's talk about, I think, one of the just absolute best benefits of the Spirit, and that's the sealing of the Spirit.
Right. Now, this word sealing, sphragizomai, is a word that we studied, one of the first word studies we did at Dallas Seminary. And you remember when Jesus was put in a tomb, the Jews were concerned the disciples were going to steal the body.
Mm-hmm.
So Pilate put the Roman seal on the tomb. And he also put a rotating guard of four different soldiers, which rotated four times during the day. So there were 16 soldiers guarding the tomb. Plus, there was a seal, and anybody who broke the seal would be subject to death by the Roman government. Mm-hmm. Well, to seal something was to make it secure.
Right.
When the Holy Spirit seals us, it's kind of like in ancient times they used to put a glob of wax on the back of an envelope, and then they would take their ring
right.
and put their insignia on it, and you knew the letter had not been tampered with because once that wax seal is broken, it can't be put back together. When the Holy Spirit seals us, this is another name for Him making us secure forever.
Well, let me read Ephesians 1:13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So God, when you believe in Jesus for eternal life, God puts His seal on you. He says, this is mine, and this is the guarantee that this person is going to get the inheritance.
That's exactly right. And we find something similar in 2 Corinthians 1:22, where Paul says, now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Notice, in both passages we looked at, the sealing is linked with the guarantee.
Right. So when God makes a promise and He keeps that promise, and there is no verse that says you can get unsealed.
No.
I mean, so many churches and Christians think that you can get sealed and then unsealed, which means losing your salvation. That is false. Eternal life is eternal. And when you're sealed, you are sealed.
You're secure forever. And of course, even regeneration means that too. Because there's no unregeneration.
Yeah, God doesn't abort His babies.
Right.
And even though a lot of churches teach that, that is just absolutely false. It's a false gospel. Once saved, always saved. That is God's promise. So that is ribs. That's an overview of the ministry of the Holy
Spirit. Regeneration, indwelling, baptizing, sealing all occur the very moment we believe. And so this is good news for us that we can rejoice, that we have eternal life, that the Spirit of God lives within us, that we've been placed into the body of Christ with all other believers, and that we've been sealed forever.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion on baptizing and sealing. I know that that has been an encouragement to many of our listeners. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the show, we're going to have an exciting discussion about spiritual gifts, so you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.